Sunday, February 27th, 2011. This is the Sales Playbook Podcast. I'm your host, Paul Castain from YourSalesPlaybook.com. And today we're going to discuss the what, the why, and the when of an effective sales mix. Now, we've got a lot to cover. Let's get right down to business. A really cool place for us to start would be just kind of addressing this whole thing of a sales mix. What the heck am I talking about when I say a sales mix? A quick definition for you. When I say sales mix, I'm just talking about all the different ways, just really a collection of things that you do to approach a potential customer. Again, it's a collection of all the different ways that you have in your arsenal to approach a potential customer. And here's the problem that I see, folks, that too many people don't hit it as a sales mix. They don't embrace a sales mix. What they're doing is that they might do one, possibly two things out of tons of things they could be doing. For example, they use the phone. Maybe they get creative and they think they're being creative by doing an email. And the opposite end of that, I see people that don't believe in the phone. And they think that they just jump on LinkedIn and they do the whole social networking or blogging thing and the world beats a path to their door. And hopefully we know better. But today I'm going to get into how we could mix it up. But before I do, now that I've given you a definition of what I mean by this sales mix, there are four very, very important reasons why you want to approach your business with this sales mix mentality. And the first one is, you increase the probability of reaching your prospect, and here's why. I'm sure you have your favorite way that you like to hunt for business. Again, you may love the phone, or you might be listening and saying, no, Paul, I'm more of a face-to-face type of person, man. I love going to those networking events. Well, just as you have your favorite way of reaching out to a prospect, they have their favorite way that they want to engage you. So if you only embrace one way, it's a crapshoot. And either you're going to find somebody that loves the phone or find somebody that loves LinkedIn or not. So you want to be very, very careful of that. So that's very important. Now, I want to have a quick soapbox moment with you. Give me a second. I'm going to drag out the soapbox. Let me climb up on that bad boy right now to tell you about a major league aha that I had last year. And I've spoken about this before, and you're going to keep hearing me talk about this. Last year, I was thinking, right? And I remember starting the year off, and got to be honest with you, I was leaning heavily, like all of my artillery fire was going on to like LinkedIn and my blog. And then, and if you had asked me, well, what do you think of Twitter? I would have told you back then that I didn't really get Twitter. I really didn't get it. I really didn't understand it. Facebook, it was the same thing. I had a presence on both of those platforms, but nothing substantial, really didn't do a lot. I simply didn't get it. I didn't understand it. Didn't particularly like them. Not trying to diss those venues. It's just kind of where I was at, and I'm sure you've been there too. Then I woke up one day, and I realized that it really doesn't matter if I get something. And it really doesn't matter if I like it. What really matters, the most important thing, hands down, the thing that trumps everything, folks, is that I must, and it's not should, I must show up in the places where my audience, my potential customers, want to engage me. So if you're listening to this right now saying, I love the phone, but if this guy starts talking about LinkedIn or he starts talking about blogging or podcasting, I'm out of here because I don't get it. My response to you is, well, first of all, I hope you stay, man, because I'm going to get real lonely in here if you cut out on me. But the real reason is, all joking aside, is that it really doesn't matter if you get it and it really doesn't matter if you like it. It matters that you show up and you engage people where they want to engage. And this philosophy holds true for any of you that may work for someone that doesn't get that you are going after business a certain way. The most important thing to keep in mind, again, I want you to be respectful and I want you to have a rebellion after listening to this podcast. The most important thing, it's not whether your boss gets it, it's not whether you get it. It's that you show up and engage your prospects where they want to engage you. So please don't ever forget that, because if you go the opposite route, remember, there is absolutely no return on ignoring, and you don't want to ignore. So my soapbox now has been put away, folks. No more soapbox moments, at least for this podcast. Let's move on to the second one, a lot quicker. You are less predictable when you mix it up. And I think that's very, very important. I'm going to tell you, I've been on both ends of the fence, both sides of the fence on this one. I've been the guy who's been predictable, and I've been the guy that has to listen to the messages of people trying to sell me who are very, very predictable. You want to mix it up, man, because otherwise you are just conditioning people to say no to you. So I want you to be very, very careful of that. Next thing, too, is that you add variety to the courtship. And I think that is just so important, that you add variety to the courtship. I've always referred to this process as a courtship, because that's what it is. And just like in any other courtship, you can't just keep showing up with flowers, man. That gets old real fast. And again, it kind of goes back to that predictability thing. You got to change it up, man. You got to be more compelling. You got to be more interesting. And we're going to get into some of those ways in a moment. Finally, this last one is very selfish. And I don't mean selfish for me. I mean selfish for you. And the reason why it's selfish is because when you mix it up, you stay fresh. You stay excited, because you're not chaining yourself to a desk just making 100 phone calls and thinking that that's going to be the only way that you're going to get the business. And it certainly works. I've done it. I've also required my teams to do that. But I'm here to tell you today that obviously there are other ways to do it. And if you think for one moment that somebody at the other end of the phone or somebody at the other end of your effort can't tell when you're getting burnt out, or you're getting robotical, or you're just not having it, or you're just not really digging the way that you're approaching them, you really need to rethink that, because they certainly can predict that, or they certainly can sense that. So let's move on. Now that we've gotten into these reasons why you want to embrace a sales mix, let's get into a few ways that you can mix it up. And these are going to be common sense, folks. You know these things already. But again, common sense is not always commonly practiced. So I want you to really think about that. So I am going to leave the most obvious thing, which is the phone, for last. And I'm doing that intentionally. So don't think I'm dissing the phone. The phone, actually, I'm going to have a very important point to make about that. The first thing is, obviously, you can be using email. You can be using good old-fashioned snail mail, drop-offs, networking, both conventional, traditional type of networking events that you go to. And, of course, all these new, exciting, free things like LinkedIn and Facebook and Twitter. And I just want to give you a quick timeout. Let's have a quick timeout on this one. This is where you need to mix it up too. You can't just throw all of your artillery fire on Twitter or all of it on LinkedIn, and the same thing for Facebook. Again, I might love LinkedIn. It doesn't mean you love LinkedIn, right? So I think it's very, very important, again, that we mix that up. How about referrals? I mean, that's something that we neglect. It's right there. Those are diamonds that we have right in our own backyard, so to speak. You never want to forget about those diamonds. Knocking on doors. This next one is one of my favorite things. I talk about quite a bit in my blog and on my podcast. You need to be utilizing and embracing creative approaches. Again, because it keeps it interesting. It allows you to be more compelling. It allows you to stand out. But here's something very, very important. I hear salespeople all the time, and I've done this myself, where we are very quick to tell people that we're creative, but we don't demonstrate that creativity. And you could say something to somebody all day long, but if you demonstrate it, it packs such a more powerful punch. And my advice to you is, demonstrate that creativity during the courtship, because that in and of itself may determine if you're going to ever get married. And just a final thing to think about is that when you look at businesses today, they desperately need creative solutions. And I hate to use a cliche, but those out-of-the-box thinking, right? Creative solutions. And if you demonstrate it in your courtship, they know that the marriage is going to consist of that too. So I invite you to get more creative in your approaches. Let's move on in terms of things that you could be doing. Things like ebooks and white papers and webinars, lunch and learns. How about blogging? podcasting like I'm doing right now. A great book that I want to recommend. I'll tell you it on this podcast. And again, if you want to get a link to the book, I have no financial interest in it. But again, it'll be there for you for convenience on my blog notes that we have. The name of the book is called Content Rules. And the name of the book, again, is Content Rules. And what I loved about this book, obviously, it was about various forms of content, things like blogs and ebooks and all the things that you see me doing to kind of reinforce my personal brand and position me as a thought leader. Well, the reason why I love the book is because not only it talks about those things, but it talks in just real easy to understand language. Because the bottom line, folks, is that I'm a sales dude. I am not a professional marketing guy. That's not the profession that I went after. I went after sales. And if a sales guy like me could love that book and really understand it and translate it into my sales world, I think you would enjoy it too. So I want you to think about that. Again, we'll have that in the blog notes today and with regard to this podcast. The other thing that I want to do right about now is let's have another timeout. I feel like I'm giving everybody timeouts today, right? What the heck is wrong with me? But it's time for another timeout. I want you to right about now, you're probably saying, man, I was with Paul on this whole thing about emailing and networking, and maybe you even with me on blogging and social networking and all that. And then all of a sudden, Castain had to go off the deep end, and he had to start talking about creating content and doing this whole thing with webinars and all this. Isn't that a marketing thing? Isn't that marketing's responsibility? Well, we could easily do 4 or 5 podcasts on that topic alone. And we might, quite frankly, because it's a hot topic right now. I'm going to tell you, on one hand, it is marketing's responsibility. They should be doing some of that stuff, but it's not their exclusive responsibility, nor should you sit around waiting for marketing to do it. I'm not dissing marketing. I'm just saying that you have to become a better marketer. And I think that is a very comfortable fit for us in sales, that we take control of the situation. We don't like waiting around for other people. We don't like other people doing our business. There is nobody in this world who can market you better than you. Marketing should not be marketing you. Let them market the company. Now, you might be thinking, yeah, we're just kind of playing around on words here. We're absolutely not playing around on words. It's essential that you market yourself, and here's why. For years, one of the oldest things that we say in sales over and over and over again, just to the point of, you know, enough already, is that people buy us first before they buy our company and our products and things like that. So if that's true, you and I really have to become better marketers. So I would invite you to do that. Again, pick up that book, Content Rules. Start embracing that philosophy. Now that I've told you a little bit about the what, again, I didn't want to get real deep into that today. I just wanted to really get your thinking going, let you come up with some of the ideas. The biggest question now that I hear from people is, okay, Paul, this is great, but when the heck do I do all this stuff? Or I'll have people ask me, when do you find time to do all this stuff? And I've done podcasts on that one too. So the first thing is, I want to tell you that most sales reps miss mucho new account acquisition opportunities. Try saying that whole mouthful 10 times fast, because they leave it to chance and they don't do what I'm about to recommend to you. Big duh, coming at you. 3, 2, 1. Are you ready? Here it is. You got to schedule this stuff, folks. You can't just wait for it to happen. Again, you schedule your appointments, you have to give yourself the same respect. You need to set appointments for these activities. So one of the things that I'm going to talk about very, very quickly is a concept of a money hours schedule. A money hours schedule. I'll have this up on the podcast notes today as well if you want to check on the blog for this. But what a money hours schedule is when you schedule things like the phone and some of your administrative things and appointments and all that, so that you have balance and you have a good mix of activities, because you need to get these things done. So what I'm going to have for you, again, if you want to go back onto the blog after this podcast today, is a PDF, a free money hour schedule. And again, I'm not saying that you have to follow this by the letter, But what I'm saying is that you can use this as a guideline and just simply adjust it to what makes sense in your world. So the first thing is, again, a money hour schedule and scheduling all this stuff. The next item is when it comes to content and blogs and podcasts like this and your social networking and things. I do something called a moonlighting strategy, and I also have a link to that back on the blog for you as well. And what that is simply doing these things after hours. And what I do during the daytime is I shift, I think of during the daytime from 8 to 5, 8 to 6 as my money hours. And I don't think it makes a lot of sense for me to blog during that time or to do a lot of my social networking. I'll do some during that time, maybe 2-3% of my efforts happen during that time. But what I do with the moonlighting strategy is every night after dinner, I pretend like I'm going off to a night job. And my night job is Paul Castain, creator of content of this incredible brand called Me. And again, I don't say that to be self-righteous or full of myself or anything. I'm kind of doing it tongue in cheek. But really, that's what I'm doing during those hours. I'm really working on my brand that people are going to buy first. So my advice to you there again is embrace a moonlighting strategy. Please click on that link. It'll give you more details. Finally, last but not least, and I love this one because I completely ripped it off out of that book, Content Rules, that I was telling you about. And what you should do is utilize a 1-7-30-4-2-1 plan. You're going to utilize a 1-7-30-4-2-1 plan. All that is just a way of you scheduling all of your activities, whether it be your podcasting, whether it be your phone calls, whether it be any of these other ways of approaching an account. You got to get it on a schedule. So the first one in that means what are you going to do daily? The seven, what are you going to do weekly? 30, what are you going to do monthly? The four, what are you going to do quarterly? Two, what are you going to do twice a year? One, what are you going to do once a year? So again, got to put it all onto a schedule because again, you and I both know if it's not scheduled, you're not going to do it. So with that, you've got a lot to work on, a lot of items to consider. Again, my whole purpose today is not to replace the phone. I told you I'd save that for last. Let me get in, go there right now. The whole point of me saving the phone for last is this, is that there's a lot of debate going on right now about what's the most effective way to prospect. Is it the old-fashioned cold call method? Or is it a lot of these newer, a lot of people are calling it social selling types of methods? And the biggest thing that I want to tell you is that, first of all, I do believe in a mixed approach. I don't believe in cold calling or prospecting or warm calling, whatever the heck you want to call it, because there's a big debate on that too, what the heck to call it and define it and all that kind of stuff. I don't believe in a standalone cold calling strategy. I've been there, I've done that, it's worked well. But I'm getting much better results, and the people that I coach and train and work with are getting just much better results when they mix it up quite a bit. But here's the point about the phone now, just in case you think I'm dissing the phone, I'm really not. The reason why I left the phone for last is that sooner or later, folks, all of this stuff comes down to a phone call. And you had better be good on the phone, and you had better be working those muscles. And I'm also here to tell you that you can never run so far in any one direction that those muscles get weak. And that's what worries me right now about the times that we're living in. It's wonderful that you're listening to me on a podcast, and I think it's wonderful that somebody like me over the last 2.5 years has been able to build a very strong personal brand that I would not have been able to build on the phone. But I'm also here to tell you that it's very dangerous, and it's a very good thing that I continue to use the phone. Because again, when that one day comes when I've got to get back on the phone, I don't want to be weak. So I want you to think about that. So with that, lots of things to think about today. I want to, before we go, invite you to do a few things as I always do. The first thing is that if you haven't signed up for our sales tips on yoursalesplaybook.com, please sign up for the sales tips. I never give the list out or sell it or spam you, any of that kind of stuff. I don't believe in that. You will always find just good content. That's what I do, and that's really my way of giving back. The other thing too, as you know, I want you to go by our LinkedIn group. and it's called Sales Playbook. We just hit a big milestone. I wish I had like sound effects here so I could have a round of applause going. We just crossed the 20,000 member milestone, and I'm really happy about that. We started the group 2 years ago, and one of the things we stand for in that group is absolutely no spam, and we don't allow combativeness in our group. It's just good old-fashioned discussion, and it's also a very good spirit about the group, so I think it's a great place for you to learn how to use these wonderful LinkedIn groups. And then last but not least, feel free to stop by our Facebook fan page, and we'll have information for you on that in the blog. So with that, Paul Castain from YourSalesPlaybook.com, I am wishing you an awesome week ahead. Go get them.